Good afternoon, and thank you from the bottom of my heart, honestly, that you've stood around after this morning, that you still want to hear some good news and glad tidings from the scriptures, tried to impress upon your mind the importance of them in our daily life. It's really vital. It's a vitality type thing that we're given so freely by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by God Almighty, that he would see fit to provide that for us. So if you'll continue to pray this afternoon, I'm going to continue in that field of study. Appreciate the words of Brother Graham. Lord truly is our refuge. You know, he told Abraham, I'm thy shield and exceeding great reward. How comforting is that to know that he's not only our shield, our defender against all evil, but he's our exceeding great reward. Paul told Timothy, said, take heed unto thyself and unto what? The doctrine. Right. Where do we get our doctrine from? We get them from the scripture, right? He said, take heed unto thyself. The man of God needs to be taking heed unto himself. He needs to take care of himself, because if he don't take care of himself, he can't take care of the flock of God. Right. He can't take care of the sheep of God's pasture. And he is, when he's called, he needs to take heed unto himself, but especially unto the doctrine. Yes. He says, continue in them. Don't just, every once in a while, it's something we must continue in. Not only the pastor, but his sheep that feed, you know. He says, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So when you leave this weekend and somebody asks you how church was, you should be able to tell them, and I pray to God that you can tell them that you were saved. Boy, that's going to open up Pandora's box to a lot of questions on what you believe. How were you saved? And that's why if you understand the scriptures, you to fully understand them, you have to know that there is an eternal salvation and there is a timely salvation. If you don't understand a time salvation, here in time and now salvation, the scriptures are going to get really confusing, real confusing in a hurry. And so that's what I love about the primitive Baptists. They've always believed in that God once saved us. He said, from so great a death, he doth deliver us, and he shall deliver us. Right. You know, I didn't quote that right, but if you want to look it up there. Anyways, knowing the scriptures and taking heed unto them, you can save yourself from a lot of error. You can save yourself from a lot of heartache. You can save yourself from many different things if you understand and realize the importance and the profitability of the scriptures. You can save yourself and them that hear thee, Timothy. How encouraging is that? I need saving every day. I need a now salvation here in this world. And I just want to turn a couple of places here this afternoon. And I want your belief, and I want your in the scriptures and what it can do for you, how it can prosper you. Turn with me to Jude. It's only one chapter in Jude. We talked a little bit about that this morning. And I love it. How I know that the scriptures are under divine inspiration can only be a God, because he states his name Jude or Judas or Judah. He says he's the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, I think, to distinguish himself from Judas Iscariot, the traitor. But what I like about it is he refers to himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, if I was writing this and I'm the half-brother of Jesus Christ, that's my boy. We got some stuff going on. I mean, you think about it. I would at least been like, you know, I'm the servant of my brother, Jesus Christ. We're the same family, just saying. You know, so I like to look at little things like that. And that tells me, I know, because if I'm the brother of Jesus Christ, I'm putting it in there somewhere. I'm going to slide it in. I mean, that's human nature at its best. We love to be proud of our inheritance, our heritage. I'm going to throw that in there somewhere. I'm going to let it known to who I'm writing to. But he doesn't. He understands how we all should be as the servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords,
yes.
Jesus Christ. And he says, and Brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and to understand what that means, that sanctification there is, you know, set apart for holy use, but right there it's referring to election. And we must firmly believe in the doctrine of election.
Yes.
Elected or chosen by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Every child of God between their conception and their death will be called by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me.
Amen.
They may not follow me in discipleship, but they will in, you know, in the new birth.
Yes.
It's a guarantee. Somewhere, you know, the surgeon is not going to be able to get to that unborn baby and snatch it out there before the Lord comes and meets them and borns them again. And they're going to be with him in heaven. I don't have any doubt in that. I don't have any worry about that. None at all. They will be called here in time or born again or born from above.
Yeah.
Says mercy unto you. I need mercy. I need peace. He says mercy unto you and peace. And love be multiplied.
Amen.
I love multiplication. I love when somebody blesses me. I love when somebody prays for me. And I like it multiplied.
Amen.
I like for everybody to be praying for me. I want you to pray for me every day. If you think about me, say a little prayer. Oh, Brother Tim, I don't care what it is. You're going to the King of Kings. You're going to one who can get things done. He's a to-doing God. He's not, you know, he's the God of eternal saving. One work on the cross. But he works in our lives on a daily basis. He's a God of providence.
Right.
He cares for his dear little sheep that go astray. He goes and gets them. He ain't going to lose one. He's not going to lose one. He wants this, all these three things, mercy and peace and love. I love to be loved. I like to have a peace of mind every once in a while. You get a house full of kids and it's like herding cats sometimes and there's no peace. Okay, you know, you may deal with it at work. You get home from work and, you know, they say a good day of fishing is better than, you know, whatever. Let's move on. Anyway, he encapsulates these wonderful traits about our God that we serve. Mercy. He's a God of mercy. And he's a God of peace. And he's a God of love. And Jude says, I want this to be multiplied on your behalf. He's already stated the most wonderful things, election and preservation of the saints and the calling. And he adds mercy and peace and love. I mean, he's talking about a buildup. And he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we've been talking about here this weekend. That's what we believe in, the election and the new birth. And call, you know, all these different things. That is the faith that he's talking about. It is needful for him to write unto them, and he's writing unto us and exhorting us that we should earnestly contend. It's worth something worth earnestly contending for. It is. It's worth contending for. What we believe here at Bethlehem and the churches of the Primitive Baptists, I most firmly believe it is worth earnestly contending for. That's to fight for it.
Amen.
We need to stand up. We just don't need to be sitting around getting pushed around here in this world. God's given us something we can take a stand. I exhort you to take a stand because it's worth earnestly contending for. It's worth it. Every fight's not a good fight. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. You know, I've kept the faith. That's what I was going for. I've kept the faith. It was worth, Paul, you know, earnestly contending for it. You know, he told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. Every fight we have out here in this world is not good. But when you earnestly contend for the faith that God has given to us by divine inspiration that we can glean from, I'm telling you, it's worth putting on your boots and pulling up your pants, putting on that whole armor, you know, that he's given us,
yeah.
And fight that good fight of faith.
Amen.
I love the doctrines that we preach, election, predestination, calling, justification. But if you need to understand the scriptures to be able to understand that we've been justified by the blood of Christ once and for all. All of your sins were paid for fully, never be brought up again. Far as from the east is the west, that's how far he separated them. Wow, that's worth contending for.
Amen.
A successful Savior, that's what you're contending for. You're contending for God's glory and his majesty. And we didn't show up today on a Saturday afternoon
if it weren't worth contending for you, I assure you, there's a lot of things you could be going to do right now. And that's why I said thank you before I ever got started, because you, I think you want to earnestly contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints. It was, we believe the same thing the apostles believed in. We believe what the apostles believed in, what Jesus taught them. We've got it here today. We've got it in his written word, divinely inspired, and it's worth fighting for. It's worth contending for. You know, David went out to battle against Goliath, and he says, is there not a cause? You know, the rest of you are just sitting around. They're fixing to be, you know, slaves until the Philistines, and nobody wanted to step up. Nobody wanted to contend against this great giant Goliath. But he went back. He went back and saw where he brought down the Paul the bear and Paul the lion. And he went back and he'd say, it was us honestly to contend for. My people, he's blaspheming my God. When people out blaspheme your God, we need to stand up and contend for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. David said, is there not a cause? It was important to David. It was very important to David. Elijah, when those false prophets came in there, you know, he's like, your God must be, you know, on the move. They must, you know, whatever. He was contending right there. He's like, let's do this. That's how I like to say it. Let's do this. He went up against all those false prophets. It was important to Elijah. And when you read the scriptures, those things written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope.
Amen.
We might have hope. You can read back to the Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. But those things written aforetime were written for our learning. And how are we going to learn them if we're not in the scripture?
Amen.
We can't glean from things we don't even know what we're looking for.
Right.
It's worth searching daily. It's like the Bereans. They gladly received the apostles' doctrine. But you know what they did? They searched the scriptures daily to see if it was so.
Right.
And Brother Tim wants you to come up to him and stuff that you've been reading and ask him questions. That lets him know that you're in it to win it. Paul told him, the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, he said, God is all in all. I read that. That meant so much to me. You know what that means? That God is all in on you.
Right.
I want us to be all in on God.
Amen.
I want us to be all in on God. He tells us to put away certain things, but God is all in all. I like to say he's the be all, end all, be all.
Right.
And it should be in our life. And it's worth contending for. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on that whole armor of God. Found in Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to look at that and study that, it's worth it. You know, in John, I'll read, leave you with Psalms chapter, or Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon says, I love them that love me. I mean, when you read that, God's saying, I love them that love me. And we know why we love God. John tells us that we love him because he first loved us. Okay? I love them that love me, and those that what? Seek me early, what? Shall find me. That is a promise. They say, you know, all, we believe in the shalls, and we're hard-shell Baptists. I like it. It's kind of edgy to me. Call me what you want. Primitive Baptist, it's kind of edgy. We believe in the shalls. He shall save his people from their sins. I love them that love me. You're showing your love to God by showing up on a Saturday afternoon. I assure you. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Where are you going to seek him? You're going to seek him in the scriptures. You're going to seek him in prayer. You're going to seek him by those two things. It's wonderful. Look in John chapter 14, and I'll get out of here. John chapter 14, in verse 15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, then keep my commandments. How do we know what his commandments are? Well, we need to read the scriptures. We need to know what the Lord has commanded us to do. His, you know, his commandments are not grievous. If you love me, keep my commandments. And it goes on down there in verse 21. He that hath my commandments, we do have his commandments, the preserved word of God, we have them today. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. You know, I always loved to read those things. He says, always says, come and follow me. He called his apostles. He says, come and follow me. There's a difference between coming. We're not going to come to Jesus Christ unless we've been born again. We believe in birth, belief, and baptism. Okay, if you get those out of whack and you don't know, get that out of order, the scriptures are going to be just a tangled mess, going to be spaghetti. Okay, you must be born again, is what he told Nicodemus. To believe, you must have been born. And then we believe in a believer's baptism here, here and every other Primitive Baptist church should. But so it's not only to have them, but to keep them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and what? And will manifest myself to him. There's nothing more wonderful than feeling the presence of our Lord and Savior when we're trying to walk close to him. Amen. We're trying to keep his commandments. Yes. And you feel the Lord's face shine down upon you when you can do these things by keeping his commandments, showing your love to him. And he promised, I will manifest myself to you. Yes. You've been in a good church meeting and you're just hungry and thirsting for God, and you've put everything you got into it. You got up that morning, you're praying for the meeting, and you're praying for the Spirit of God to dwell in your presence and in my presence, and your hair starts to stand up. The songs of Zion are singing praises to the one who needs to be allotted or applauded. We don't applaud here in general, but there's nothing wrong with one day you just got a big old clap because the Lord is manifesting himself to you in a mighty way. Only he can do that. Do you understand?
Right.
Only he can do that. It don't matter how good the preacher preaches. It don't matter how good you are. When the Lord, you know, shows that he loves you and manifests himself to you, he that hath my commandments, and you got them, let's do something with them. Let's fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Let's keep his commandments. Show that we love him. And he promises he will love us and manifest himself to you. I encourage you to not only take the scriptures, but read them and keep them. Keep them close to you. And God said he'll manifest yourself to you. That's not just me saying, you know, this could happen. This is the words of Jesus Christ saying, I will manifest myself to you. God bless you.